And in that full power of his divine nature, although he was living in a human body, true humanity, our Lord Jesus had all the power of God at his disposal. And we're told here in verse 13, "And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, have he quickened together." Now that quickened means gives life. And so those who are like corpses, dead spiritually, the Lord Jesus raises the dead soul to spiritual life, having forgiven you.
I want to wish you a very blessed day on this Christmas day, and may the Lord in His grace minister to your heart. Here's a story of, well, actually it was found in the Reader's Digest. On Christmas morning, my little daughter was downstairs opening her packages before anyone else was out of bed. To my surprise, I heard her singing the happy birthday song, "Happy Birthday on Christmas Morning." I thought that she, aware of festivity in the air, was confused as to the occasion. But as she sang on, I realized that it was I who had been confused. "Happy birthday, dear Jesus," the little voice caroled. "Happy birthday to you." And of course, on this day when many are remembering the birth of the Lord Jesus right around the world, what a phenomenal thing that our Lord Jesus is remembered right around the world in true Christian churches by Bible readers, Bible lovers, and of course, other nations and other peoples who, well, they know the traditions, but we pray that they will know the living Lord Jesus living in them. And that's my burden for you as well, that you will come to know our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So stay tuned with us right through the broadcast as we move to the pulpit of our church, the pulpit ministry here at the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale, and as we have an item in song, "Oh, that the Lord would bless you today."
And we have a definite name that makes him precious, a name that has all the virtue, the value, the attributes of God. And for others to take such a name would certainly be presumption, but not with Christ. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And so he is the one, and that makes him precious. Now we have a divine name that makes him precious, God with us. We also have a definition in this name, "For he shall save his people from their sins." Now I love it when the Bible interprets itself. You know that. I don't have to bring any commentator, any genius of mind to bear on these words and these names, because the Scripture itself says it right here. It's its own commentary. "For he shall save his people from their sins." And so the name of Jesus is equal to Savior. Jesus in the New Testament is the rendering of Joshua from the Old Testament. And when you think of Joshua and what he did for the people of Israel, leading them out of the wilderness into the Promised Land, Joshua did what Moses could never do. Moses gave the law. Moses pointed, of course, in the tabernacle to the holiness of God. Moses was on the Mount Sinai and heard the thunderings of the law. But Joshua was the leader of the people right into the promised land. Now the law cannot save you, but Jesus can. The law cannot make you ready for heaven, but Jesus can. That's his name, Savior. And therefore Jesus is precious. Precious to every believer. Recently we looked at that text in 1 Corinthians 12:3, which says, "No man calleth Jesus Lord but by the Holy Ghost." In other words, unless you are born again of the Spirit and are enlightened by the Spirit, regenerated and given a new heart and mind, you cannot comprehend the value, the preciousness of Jesus' name. No man calleth Jesus Lord but by the Holy Ghost. And if you're saying today, "I love the name Jesus, I trust in his name, I know that he came from heaven for me, I know that he lived the life I should have lived, he died on the cross the death that I should have died, he's risen again, I put my trust in the name of Jesus," let me tell you, that's God-given faith. That's precious faith that makes Jesus precious to you. And I think of that hymn, "Precious to me, precious to me." Oh, I trust today that you can say the name Jesus is altogether personally, in the depths of your soul and heart, thrilling, thrilling. If that's not true, you can't call yourself a Christian. If the name of Jesus is not delightful and brings you to devotion, to prayer and praise and thanksgiving, then there is deadness in your soul and you cannot be born again, because the work of the Spirit is to magnify and honor the name of Jesus. Now it brings me to the power that is in Jesus' name. And I take this heading and make the point that the name of Jesus was be given because it says, "He shall save his people from their sins." Would you underline the word "shall"? This is not an uncertain gospel. There is power in the name of Jesus. Now, his people, who are they? All that the Father gave to the Son in the covenant of grace. The elect, those that are chosen from the foundation of the world. And for each one of those, Jesus came into the world to be their Savior, particularly. Now on earth, Jesus had power. He had power over men. I think of the fishermen, disciples, Peter, James, John, and those that were with their nets, their boats, and their family fishing business. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me." And instantly they just dropped all and followed Christ. What an effectual call. Even the tax collectors, as Matthew and Zacchaeus, those greedy, grasping money lovers, Jesus called them to follow him. What power he has over the hearts of men. And then as we read through the Gospels, we find that our Lord Jesus has power over devils. The demoniac of Gadara, who was indwelt by legion, not in his right mind, he was uncontrollable. And the end of the story is that Jesus brought him to sit at his feet in his right mind in devotion. What power is in the Lord Jesus? Now, that power comes, of course, from his cross work. Now, we haven't used our Bibles very much yet, and I'd like you to turn with me to Colossians 2, verse 13. Colossians 2 and verse 13. Where is Colossians? Well, if you find Corinthians, Ephesians, Philippians, then you come to Colossians and to chapter 2, verse 13. Now, let's think of what the apostle is doing here in this passage. He is laying out, well, in verse 10, 9 and 10, the Godhood of Christ. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And in that full power of his divine nature, although he was living in a human body, true humanity, our Lord Jesus had all the power of God at his disposal. And we're told here in verse 13, and you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, have he quickened together. Now that quickened means gives life. And so those who are like corpses, dead spiritually, the Lord Jesus raises the dead soul to spiritual life, having forgiven you all trespasses. Now that's what the name of Jesus means, for he shall save his people from their sins. So Jesus can pronounce people forgiven, pardoned. And in his life story, when you find that the Pharisees heard that people were receiving their sins forgiven, Jesus pronounced, "Thy sins be forgiven thee," the Pharisees were upset. He was making himself out to be God. Now, they shouldn't have been upset, but they were right, that that was the claim of one who is God. And here he is, or the apostle is explaining and expounding all of the ministry of Christ, and he says, "You have been quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses." But how? How can Jesus do that? Well, look at verse 14. "Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that is against you, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross." And so Christ Jesus came into the world to go to the cross. We know that. We know that that was God's eternal purpose. Isaiah in chapter 53 spoke of his sufferings. He was wounded for our transgressions. There are prophecies that this man, Christ Jesus, would be the suffering Savior. And it was at the cross where the Lord Jesus demonstrated power over Satan to cancel the grip, the bondage that Satan has upon souls. And the Lord Jesus translates sinners from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his own dear Son. Now go back in Colossians to chapter 1:13, and you will see you have this word deliver from darkness, or the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. That was done at the cross. And he was given the name Jesus because it means Savior. He shall save his people from their sins. Oh, we can only grasp the power that is in Jesus' name. No wonder the devils tremble and flee at that name. Hardened men, money lovers, earth lovers, worldly-minded sinners, drop all and follow Jesus. That's the power that is in that name. There is no other name nor power in all of the world that can take away your sin. And so we as Christians, we as believers today, take great delight that we call our Savior Jesus. Lord Jesus, Christ Jesus, because of all that he is as our wonderful Savior. Do you get it? If you miss it, how will you ever be saved? How will you ever be brought out from the bondage of sin into liberty and gospel freedom? You need today to lay hold of the name of Jesus. Now that brings me now to the promises that are in the name of Jesus. Now you're familiar with the statement about all the promises of God are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. Do you know where that's found in the Bible? 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 19 and 20. All the promises of God are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. Now that means that he is the giver of all the gifts of God. He is our Joseph. And just as Joseph was raised up to conserve food and to dispense food, that nothing was given without Joseph's name and authority, in the plan of the gospel, God has ordained that only in the name of his Son, the Lord Jesus, shall anyone ever receive the least little blessing. All the gifts of God are in Jesus' name. All the promises for prayer are released through Jesus' name. And I'm sure you know John 15, 16, where the Lord Jesus taught his disciples, ask in my name. Now, James later said, we have not because we ask not. And there are many people who ask just because they want to gratify their flesh and for greed and so on. But if you ask in Jesus' name, according to God's will, the Father will give it you. And so there are these promises that are in the name of the Lord Jesus. And that name of our Lord Jesus now has great power in heaven. He is the paymaster in the bank of heaven. Jesus writes the checks according to the Father's will, and he pays out all the favors and all the riches of God to sinners who ask in his name. So every promise, every doctrine, every truth, every message that God has for you in this word, you receive it when you plead the mighty name of Jesus. Just as on a check, the bearer of the check, the giver of the transaction, his name is on the check, and he signs it. And it doesn't matter how many figures are on it, if the name is not on it, it's worthless. And you might have religion, you might have tradition, you might have knowledge, but if you don't ask in Jesus' name, you have nothing, absolutely nothing. You're a beggar. And so we are to use the checkbook of faith, and we're to ask believingly in Jesus' name. And that brings honor and glory to God. And now we come to the prospect of trusting in Jesus' name. What does he do for us? What can we expect? Well, we can expect three things: to be delivered from the guilt of sin, to be delivered from the power of sin, and one day to be delivered from the presence of sin. That's the scope of the promises and the prospect of being saved. We are saved now from the guilt. We're set free from condemnation. We are still being saved tomorrow. We're being kept by Jesus' name. And we will be saved for all eternity. That's the future. What is our Lord Jesus doing now? We know that he's seated at God's right hand. He's interceding. What is the worth of that name of Jesus 2,000 years after? After he died on the cross, after he rose again, he still has all power and all authority. In the book of Revelation, when the Lord appeared, he said, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel. Jesus spoke from heaven. Jesus gave that revelation to John on the Isle of Patmos from heaven. And then in verse 2, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ, and of all things that he saw. There was John taking note, recording all the views of his risen Savior. And from Jesus Christ, who was the faithful witness, there's the revelation to John. Now the prospect that we have, that Jesus is now seated in glory, that he is enthroned, coronated, he's no longer wearing a crown of thorns, but a crown of glory. He is the Lord of lords, the King of kings. And as he promised, he's coming again. And he's coming with all his mighty authority. And we are told in Philippians 2 that every knee shall bow to the name of Jesus. That's the name every soul is going to bow to. You're going to give allegiance, you're going to give loyalty, you're going to give praise, you're going to recognize, you're going to confess that He is Lord. Whether you be a Christian or not, you will bow to that name. For those that are saved, of course, it will be with great delight and with great joy. But you need to know that right now, 2,000 years later, the Lord Jesus has not lost 1 ounce of His power or the authority in that name. Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. Why do you call Him Jesus? Because your hope is that He has saved you. And it's not an empty hope. It's not just a possibility. It is your personal assurance. You call Him your Lord Jesus because He has saved you, redeemed you, and made you right with God. The Bible tells us that blasphemers of that name of Jesus will be cast out. That's why we cringe when we hear the world blaspheming the precious name of Jesus. In Revelation 13:6, it says, "And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name." And if you know Revelation 13, that's the chapter of Antichrist. I bid you today, do not join the blasphemers of this world. What destruction awaits them? But join the band of saints who find the name of Jesus to be precious, blessed, sweet to our hearts. Because there's no other name, not the name of Buddha, Allah, saints, angels, idols, only the name of Jesus. And there are many, of course, around the world today who are imprisoned because of their loyalty to that name. Many who have lost their lives because they would not deny the name of Jesus. We're living in a hostile world to that name. But those that lay down their lives for Christ will be martyrs and honored and given eternal life. What will you do with the name of Jesus? What are you doing day by day with that name? Do you pray? Do you worship? Do you honor that name? Do you broadcast that name to tell the world that He's your Savior? Thou shalt call His name Jesus. Thou, you. That's your call. That's your command. And make Him known. If He's not your Savior today, would you please call on Him and trust in Him this hour?
While shepherds watch their sheep by night, glad tidings brought an angel bright. How great their joy, great their joy. Joy, 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 joy. Glory to God in heaven on high. Glory to God in heaven on high. Fear not, the angel said to them, Jesus is born in Bethlehem. How great their joy, great their joy. Joy, 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 joy. Glory to God in heaven on high. Glory to God in heaven on high. Jesus, we hasten to adore. Grant us Thy blessing evermore. How great our joy, great our joy. Joy, 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 joy. Glory to God in heaven on high. Glory to God in heaven on high.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, and I trust that on this Christmas Day, the Lord will be gracious, cause His face to shine upon you, your family, your home, and make you a wonderful blessing. Did you know that Christmas used to be a very raucous event? Before the advent of the Christmas Carol, celebrations of Christmas had become so depraved and rowdy that the observance of the joyous season was once forbidden by the English Parliament. The meaning of Christmas had become lost in a maelstrom of revelings, drunkenness, riotings, and depravity. Decent people found it necessary to stay indoors for safety. The situation became so shameful that in 1644 Parliament passed strict laws making it illegal to commemorate the season in any way whatsoever. How empty and devoid of meaning is a Christless Christmas. We must keep Christ in Christmas. But to do that, you must have him in your heart. It's not enough just to have the trappings, the traditions, and the sentimentality of it all. You must be born again and have the Lord to dwell in you. Here's Martin Luther on A Bed in My Heart. Ah, dearest Jesus, Holy Child, make thee a bed soft, undefiled, within my heart, that it may be a quiet chamber kept for thee. My heart for very joy doth leap, my lips no more can silence keep. I too must sing with joyful tongue that sweetest ancient cradle song. Glory to God in the highest, who unto man his Son hath given, while angels sing with pious mirth a glad new year to all the earth. And it is that good wish that we offer to you today from our house to yours on this wonderful Christmas day. May it be a blessing indeed to your own soul. And if I can be of personal help, make sure you give me a call, send me an email, or come along to our church here. May the Lord in his grace meet every need of your heart at this season and answer prayer for you. Stay tuned for these closing announcements. Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., as we let the Bible speak.